Scripture reading for today is found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. It's taken from the NIV. And it's also on the front of your bulletin. The Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And now I want to invite Scott up, and we'll give the rest of the time to Scott and Heather Bennett as they share their testimony in word and song. Thank you, Scott, for joining us. God bless you.
That is a very special hymn to a lot of us. It has always been and always will be my all-time favorite. You know, when Horatio Spafford wrote that hymn, a lot of you know the story, the one dramatic story amongst many that inspired him to write it. When he wrote that hymn, he was writing out his anthem of faith to God. lot of you know that his daughters were lost in a terrible collision between two ships at sea. I would consider that horrible enough in my life as a trial. But in addition, he lost a son to scarlet fever. Later on, lost another son to disease. Lost his business and estate in the Chicago fire. This man had seen challenges unlike many of us will ever see in our lifetime. And it was in the midst of pondering these experiences in his life that he sat down and wrote this hymn. What a testimony to having unshaken faith in your Creator when you're in the midst of trying to process these trials. So when we sing that song in church, do we live by those words? Sometimes I wonder if I actually live by those words. Do I live by them? When things are off the rails, is it well with our souls? It's a good question. Life has a way of being quite the roller coaster ride, and I know you can relate. If you were to graph what life looked like, it'd be all over the place, up and down, everywhere. I mean, the Bible even talks about this, right? For everything, there's a season and a time for every matter under heaven. You guys remember that old song by the Birds? Remember that? You can hear it in your head right now. To everything, turn. Yeah. There's a different season for everything in life. Life is all over the place. Psalms, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. What a promise. 2 Corinthians, we're afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Somewhere along the lines, Horatio Spafford read those words and said, God, it is well with my soul. So if we were to graph life, I like graphs. I'm kind of a numbers nerd. And so whenever my wife puts together spreadsheets, I always like to turn it into a graph. You know, you can do that. If you were to graph life, this is what I think it would look like. And I think, you can relate, right? Does that look familiar? You could probably think of times when your life was down at that bottom peak. It might be now for you. I don't know. You could probably think of times when your life was a mountaintop experience. It might be you now. And here's what's interesting is sometimes we feel, and I'm going by feelings here, we feel God in the mountaintop experiences, and then we get to a valley and we go, okay, I don't feel God anymore. But did God decide to just bail out? Hey, you're on your way down, I'm out. I'm telling you, some of our friends and family do that to us. God does not bail on you when you're on your way down. In fact, that's when God gets kind of tight with you. You don't always feel it. Can't go by your feelings, right? Your head has got to tell your heart. God is a constant in my life. He's a constant in my life. Regardless of the ups or the downs or the in-betweens, he is consistent, right? We have biblical proof of this, okay? We have the Bible reminding us that God is constant and consistent. So here's an example. God is unchanging. For I, the Lord, do not change. Malachi. Hebrews, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? This is very simple. This is nothing complicated. We don't have to dig deep for this. James, God with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So if you were to graph God in your life, this is what it would look like. Consistent, almost boring. I hate to say that word because that's what I need in my life, right? I need a consistent compass recalibration point. I need God to be there for me at every stage. And he is. This isn't just a Christian crutch that we use to get through the hard stuff in life. This is what God is to you and me. And frankly, he's that way to people who don't even believe in him. That's what's crazy. God is still there for them too. So if your life is up and down, constantly changing, different seasons. If God is constant, then what should the faith journey look like? I think the faith journey is a journey that should be constantly growing. It should be changing. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. Does the dawn just stay dawn? It's one of my favorite times of the morning, right? You get to see the sun rising. It's quiet, it's still. One of the reasons I love dawn is because of the promise of what's happening. If you can see the sun rising, you know it's going to come out and it's going to be an awesome day. The light of dawn shines brighter and brighter until full day. 2 Corinthians, being transformed from one degree of glory to another. This is your faith journey, right? You're rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. So if we had a faith graph, this is what I think it should look like. Okay? So we have our life going crazy. We have God consistent, and you have your faith journey that's constantly growing. It's sketchy in the beginning, let's be honest. When your faith is first, you know, it gets tested, and you're like, I don't know about this Job experience I'm going through. But this is what your faith journey needs to look like. It should never parallel your life journey. If your faith journey is going up and down with your life journey, then you need to reconnect with God and say, God, I can't handle this roller coaster ride. I need you to give me some consistency. And God will. He'll step in and he'll say, listen, life is going to be crazy. That's all happening around you. You can't control it. There's not a lot you can do about those ups and downs. But your faith journey can constantly grow. And it grows most when your life is in the valleys. It's true. So, in a lot of ways, I think it's important for us to remember, through everything we go through in life, God is here. It isn't a complicated concept. He's here. Sometimes we think, I'm having a really, really rough go at it. What did I do to deserve this? Did I step away from the faith in a way that I shouldn't have? Did I do something or say something? Or is this some sort of like bad karma that people talk about that's happening to me? Now, here's the deal, right? You've got sin. We live in a world where Satan rules, and he is doing everything he can to ruin every day of your life. He's not just ruining certain periods of your life. He's literally out there every day trying to ruin you. It's just what he wants to do. He gets pleasure out of taking out God's people. And so stuff's going to happen. The difference is we're going to cling to Jesus through it all because he is here. And that is a promise, and that is a comfort.
Give up.
tasted all the things this world could think to offer me, but today I feast on manna from above. He is here, hallelujah, and he is you, amen, he is you. His name again. Oh, he is here. Listen closely. Hear him calling out your name. He is here. You can touch him. The same. He is here. You can touch him. You will never be the same. My wife is going to come up here now and share just a short testimony of life from her perspective over the past 3 years. Some of you who have followed our journey on Facebook, you kind of know probably a little bit about what she's going to share. But this is her heart. She's not somebody who likes to be upfront, and for almost 17 years of music ministry together, you know you've never seen her up here, ever once. She runs the sound system, and she's very happy down there. And I asked her, I said, I truly believe that only you can share our journey the last 3 years through your perspective, because I didn't live your life the last 3 years, only you did. And I think it will be encouraging to some of you who are or have been in the same journey that she has been in, and that I think you'll be blessed by this. So definitely please give her grace as she's up here. She's doing it for me and for you and for Jesus, and I think you will be blessed by her.
Like Scott said, I do not like being up front at all. I, at church, go to the closet to count money because I would rather be in a closet than be up here. So bear with me as I go through this. When we tap into God's strength, we find that we can do hard things. Things that we never, ever imagined that we'd ever be capable of doing. And I learned this as a wife in a season that I would have never chosen. I experienced, God created us to be helpmates for our spouses. And sometimes that calling looks very different than we ever expected to look like. And in these seasons, we sometimes have to become the glue, holding everything together when life suddenly falls apart. I experienced this in a real way on January 21st of 2023. It was a typical Sabbath morning for us. Scott was on his way to preach and sing at a morning event in Ohio. The night before, it had been raining and the temperatures were below freezing. So automatically, the roads were all frozen, and he had seen that morning a bunch of cars already off the road, and then he ended up just becoming another one of those vehicles. I was awoken that morning at 6 a.m. to the sound of my cell phone buzzing on my nightstand, and when I answered, it was an Indiana state trooper who told me that my husband had been in a catastrophic car accident and that I needed to get to the hospital as soon as possible. Nothing ever prepares you for a moment like that. It's one you don't ever want to experience. On the way to the hospital, I was completely helpless. All I knew was that Scott had been airlifted to a trauma center. And for 2 hours, I lived in a space between hope and tragedy. I didn't know if my husband was alive or if he was dead. And in that drive, somewhere between faith and fear, the words of Isaiah became very real to me. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. I had nothing to stand on that morning except for that promise. My mind was trying to prepare me for the worst outcome. My mind immediately went to, I have no idea what Scott wants. Does he want to be cremated? What kind of service does he want to have? Where does he want to be buried? I didn't know any of these things. So for me, that was one of the first things that ran through my mind. It was something that I couldn't fix. There was nothing I could control. The only thing that I knew to do that morning was to pray and to ask others to join me in prayer. So I jumped on Facebook that morning, and I posted on there begging for prayers for my husband because he was in a car accident, and that this was basically something that I knew was beyond us and that we needed God to intervene. And he did, through all of you guys, who that morning got on Facebook and said, we are praying for you. Our church is praying for you. I can't even express to you what that meant, getting on there and having Bible verses sent to my inbox saying, hey, you got this. God has you. We have you. And the amount of blessing that was throughout that journey has been, it was overwhelming. And really, there aren't words to even express it. And it feels strong. And it feels courageous. But I knew that God was with me. That morning, Scott had to be extricated from his vehicle, and he was airlifted to a level 2 trauma hospital. When I arrived, they allowed me to see him briefly before whisking him away into surgery. But the relief that I felt when I saw him alive and talking was profound, because that morning, the fact that he had not picked up his cell phone and he had not placed that call saying he was in a car accident was my biggest fear that morning. Not hearing his voice, not saying, hey, listen, everything's okay, but I was in a car accident, that a state trooper instead was the person who called me was heavy on my mind. He had broken through a guardrail. He had hit the end of it where you see those little reflectors, and he had taken out 9 of those posts going into the ground before he flew off a 20-foot embankment and then hit the ground with an incredible force. A force that actually is what caused his femur to break that morning. As you saw, it actually broke his seat that he was sitting on. So his injuries were severe. He had an open femur fracture. He had bilateral open tibia and fibula fractures, a torn meniscus, an ACL tear, and then his right calf was completely cut open, and his deep tissue and his muscle were all exposed. He had lost a ton of blood that morning, and he received a lot of transfusions during that week. And the first one he received when he was on that life flight that morning. Later on, we found out that his vocal cords were actually damaged as well from being intubated. And so I remember standing in that trauma bay trying to process how life could change so dramatically in just a single moment. I was grateful that he was alive, but yet there was a terrified feeling of what was yet to come. When his first emergency surgeries were over, relief washed over me, but it was quickly followed by another realization. Everything that in that day had changed. And now I was faced with a choice to make, because that morning I had left before my 2 sweet angels were awake. Emma was 7 and Aubrey was 4. And so they didn't even have a clue that mommy had left that morning. And so I FaceTimed them and let them know, hey, that daddy was in a car accident. And it was a very hard decision to choose between going home and caring for my kids or staying with my husband, who I vowed and in sickness and in health, and, you know, to death do us part, you know, all the things you think about, for better or for worse. And so that morning I had that running through my mind of what am I going to do? And for me, the answer ended up being very clear. I actually couldn't leave Scott's side. And so that afternoon I FaceTimed the girls after he got out of his first initial surgery. And I said, hey, daddy was in a car accident. His legs aren't working. And daddy really needs mommy to stay with him. So they were very gracious, asked a lot of questions, but they handled it like the beautiful young leaders that they are. In the hospital room, our roles had shifted completely. The man who had been our provider, our protector, and our spiritual leader was unable to do even the simplest things. And in that moment, I realized that it was my turn to be all of those things. Not because I was strong, but because God was. Scott spent 10 days in critical care, and then another week in acute inpatient rehab. The hospital kind of trained me in how to take care of all of his wound care. They trained me in everything that they could possibly train me in. And then when we got home, I was able to change his bandages and do the stuff that nurses are amazing, I'm just going to say. I do not care for that stuff. So
just to be able to do it and take care of him, make sure his medicine was scheduled on time. Just all those little details that you have to do. During the early stages of his recovery, his legs were actually kind of in a paralyzed state, and then his legs were both really, really atrophied. So he needed assistance just to even reposition himself in bed. And while Scott was requiring all this care, I also needed to divert some of my time to my kids because I was homeschooling. And so they still needed an education. And they needed their mom to be present emotionally and available because it was actually a traumatic experience for them as well. By necessity, I became the manager of everything that keeps a household running. And being the glue it's not a glamorous job. It's exhausting. It's unseen. And it requires a strength that doesn't come from ourselves. But here's what I learned. The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of distress, and he cares for those who take refuge in him. Now, I could stand here and I could talk to you about all the challenges that we faced, every little nitty-gritty detail, but beyond that, were all the fingerprints that we saw along the way of God in our lives. And some of those beautiful mercies that he showed upon us, we still talk about, we're still amazed by them, because God is a God who is good. And one of those first things that I want to tell you about is the fact that Scott remained conscious during his accident. He remained conscious enough that he was able to place the phone call to 911. He had went off the road that morning, and nobody had actually seen him go off the road. So we have some friends who are in the ER. They work in the ER, and they have told us, for how much blood that Scott lost, he probably would have lived for another 45 minutes, and then he would have passed away. So the fact that he remained conscious through it all is the biggest, God is so good. Another thing that we just were kind of awestruck about is that Scott was injured from below the waist. He didn't have any internal bleeding. He didn't have any head trauma. He didn't have anything inside him damaged or any of that. 100% A-OK, tested clear. But beyond even that, he didn't have a seatbelt mark. He didn't have any marks or, you know, you get those burns when your airbags go off. He didn't even have that on his face. All of his airbags blew. He didn't even have that on his face. So you want to hear my theory? God is good. And some angel that morning, his guardian angel said, Scott, I'm so sorry this is going to hurt, but I got you. And so God is good. God is good. God is beyond good. You want to talk about little things? God cares about the little things, right? He cared so much about the little things that I was able to get a replacement vehicle 20 minutes from the hospital at a Mercedes-Benz dealership. I don't drive a Mercedes. I drive a Toyota Sienna. And that van was sitting there 20 minutes from where I needed to be. And so I walked in, and I was able to purchase our van, the same color, a little newer model. Praise the Lord. Thank you. But God is good. He cares about even those little details of, you know what, you need a vehicle. This was the only one you had. It's totaled. I got your back. And God is so good. If we just stop for a moment and we look for those, even those little tiny details that he places before us. Oh, yes. Our home. God sees the beginning and the end. He saw a year before we purchased a home that was handicap accessible. Does God know what we need before we even ask? So we purchased a home that was handicap accessible. We were in the process of renovating it. And Scott got into his accident. And we had some beautiful friends from Pennsylvania who brought a big old crew with them. They renovated the house for us and watched our girls, took care of them. We had family members, church members, this whole group from Pennsylvania. All I asked for was a handicap bathroom and a ramp. But they came in and they swooped in and did everything. So we came home and we had a new house. It was like amazing. So God cared even a year before Scott got in his accident. He had it planned that we would have a home that he would be able to come home to, that he would be comfortable in, and we had all our needs met there. The day we arrived home, my best friend arrived. She had driven from Colorado to Michigan with her daughter, and she stayed with us for a month. If you don't have a friend like this, find one. Because let me tell you, this woman right here, she was my right hand. I physically would not have been capable of getting everything done that I needed to do without her. She homeschooled my girls while I was taking Scott to PT 3 times a week, while he had more surgeries lined up. She was doing it. She was feeding my kids. She was cleaning my dirty bathrooms. She was literally, I am not even kidding you, the hands and feet of Jesus to us. She, in this picture you can see, she actually, it took 2 people to change his bandages because of his leg being so atrophied and a little paralyzed. He couldn't lift his leg for me. So I literally she would use her arms and I would use my arms, and we're both going to town trying to get new bandages on his legs. So I literally couldn't have done it without her. I physically couldn't. Again, if you don't have a friend like this, time to find one. Absolutely a godsend to us. God is good. In Psalm 145:9, it says, "The Lord is good to everyone. His compassion rests on all he has made." So 3 years in and 18 procedures later, Scott has nearly fully recovered. So when today I tell you that God is good, I don't say it to you casually. I say it from experience. The psalmist declares, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. His faithful love endured us through critical care, through surgeries, through tears, through exhaustion, through fear, through trauma." And I want to stop and I want to say to anybody who is caring for a parent, caring for a child, caring, just in that caring role, you actually are seen. I see you. It is not an easy job, but you are seen. Seasons doesn't mean that we have all the answers. It just means that sometimes we show up when we feel weak. It means leaning into God's strength when yours runs out. It means discovering that He really is the stronghold in a day of distress. Sometimes we have to be the glue holding together the pieces. But sometimes we're the hands touching the wounds. Sometimes we're the arms that are holding the frail. God empowers us with love that never, ever wavers. It never counts the costs. It has absolutely no regrets. It has no limits. So today, if you are in the valley of challenges, take heart, because He has overcome and His love never, ever fails.
You know, from my perspective, there's not a lot that I can say that was hard for me. God's amazing handiwork on my body did the hard work. My wife and my kids stepped up to the plate and did the hard work. And I was able to focus all of my energy on just getting better. And I got to observe my family leaning in a way that I've never, ever seen before. And there is a gift and a blessing in watching your family lean in when a member of that family needs it most. There's something special about it. You know, you've heard people who have gone through trauma in their family dynamic, and they'll say, I have some amazing, beautiful memories of that time. And sometimes on the outside looking in, you think to yourself, you are definitely trying to rationalize or forget how deep your pain was during that journey. But it's true. It's true. Once again, it's not just a Christian trying to find a crutch to use to explain away hardship. It's a Christian saying, God, I do see your fingerprints, like my wife mentioned earlier. I see them all over our family right now. That is a comfort. It's a deep comfort. I got to watch my family do amazing things together. I watched my girls step up to the plate. This one right here wants to be a nurse someday. She's been saying that forever. Go for it, baby. Just kind of like, I view society at kind of at this level. I love pretty much everybody. And then there's like nurses. I have a huge amount of respect for nurses. My daughter stepped up to the plate. She helped mommy multiple times take care of daddy. My youngest daughter would always say, Daddy, what do you need? Let me get it. She'd run across the house to go grab whatever it is that daddy needed. Mommy, do you need some bandages? I'll go get them. I know where they are. Both of them stepping up to the plate. Both of them helping mommy split wood. Helping mommy do the hard stuff. And of course, Heather just being the glue, keeping it all together. I love this quote. Sometimes when life breaks apart, God anoints someone to hold it together. And that someone was Heather for me. You know, we just happened to saw a lot of negativity surrounding marriage today, guys. I get it. My family dynamics were, my home was broken more than once by a divorce. Got a bunch of half-brothers and half-sisters. It's kind of a blessing in a way. But there's some also really good stories out there. We are one. Not perfect. No one is. Come on, guys. We don't even need to say that. But my wife was the glue for the past 3 years. Some of you have followed her journey. You've seen me up and down. I would have an amazing experience. I was in a wheelchair for a few months, and I'm starting to recover. And my wife is holding my hand through the whole process. And then I'd be back down in a wheelchair again after a surgery. It was like this constant up and down thing. She had to be ready every moment to be the glue. She was the glue. I remember in the hospital, I love this picture, because this is often, I don't remember my first week in the hospital, but my brother was there and we had family there, and they just retold the stories over and over again. And they said, Heather would not leave your room ever. If the only time she would do it is if she had to take a phone call, which was, you know, there were probably a few calls coming in, but she didn't leave the room for any other reason. She would lay next to you in your hospital bed. She would sleep there. They brought a little, I don't know, hide a bed couch for her, and she would sleep on this little couch, and it was awful. And they're waking me up every hour throughout the night, apparently. And so they had to tell her, the nursing team and my family, they were like, you've got to go to a hotel and get some sleep, because if you don't, you're going to be useless to your family. Go take care of yourself at night. There's no need for you to be in here. You've got a great medical team taking care of them. And so they convinced her to get into a hotel that was literally across the parking lot from the hospital. See it out my window. It's as far as she would go. She'd leave late at night, come back first thing the next morning. And then we get out of the hospital, and that's kind of when the real work begins for her, right? Because now there's not a medical team that's taking care of my wound care dressings. There's not a hospital cafeteria sending up amazing food to the room. There isn't anybody there to do that stuff. It's heaven. And so, yeah, we got home. It was amazing. It was not wonderful to see our kids again. It was wonderful to come into a home that was completely renovated. That's a whole other story in and of itself. She gave you a little glimpse into that, but that house was completely gutted by me because we were renovating it. It was a 1971 house when we first bought it. It looked like a perfectly preserved 1971 house. There was carpet in the kitchen, in the bathroom, so you just imagine. So we ripped everything out. I mean, tore walls down. It was totally empty. And in the time that I was in the hospital, this team showed up. Completely renovated it. It should be on the news. It's amazing. I mean, when we say renovated everything, kitchen cabinets, curtains, they bought furniture and furnished our house. I can't even begin to tell you. It's an amazing thing. That's a story for another day. So we got home. We're able to reunite with our kids. We're able to process the fact that we're home now and what the next step of recovery is. And this is, again, where my wife had to really shine, because now she is my wound care nurse. Taking care of that stuff. This is the girl who, by the way, cut her thumb with a knife in the kitchen and literally fainted and fell to the floor. Seriously. Can you imagine the grace that God had to give her to deal with this stuff? Seriously. Huge amounts of grace. And seriously, ladies, and men, you guys do not limit what God can do through you when you have to step up to the plate. Do not say that is outside of the scope of what I can possibly do. It's just not. Nothing is. Nothing is. Nothing is. She had to be the lady, you know, we heat with wood, so she had to be the girl that took care of not just me, but took care of, you know, processing all the wood outside and chopping trees and splitting wood and taking care of leaks in our barn. She just did it, right? Because I couldn't. And so she was out there constantly doing this kind of stuff. I asked my girls, I'm like, I gave her my phone. I'm like, go take pictures of mommy because I couldn't do it. I'm like, she's going to do all this boss stuff and I want pictures of it because people are never going to believe me. She did. She ran around taking pictures of my wife, just taking care of business on our 5-acre farm. And I am so incredibly grateful for her. So that, I mean, these are the roles, right? I mean, going from helping me transfer to the bathroom and helping me shower and changing my dressings and taking care of the stuff around the house and taking care of the girls, right? That doesn't stop. It doesn't stop all of a sudden. You have to do that too. And she did. She had to homeschool them. And it's not just homeschooling, it's loving on them, right? It's giving them time and energy. When you're not mowing, you're loving on the kids. This was, I think this day the mower actually overheated and she had to like figure out how to add coolant and deal with all that. And she did. She must have been contemplating her life choices at that moment. But you know, this is why I'm saying this. When you see your spouse pull the stops for your family, you cannot help as a Christian but get a glimpse of God. I believe God places beautiful people in our lives. In my case, it was my wife. He places beautiful people in our lives to give us little glimpses of certain aspects of his character. Do you guys know people who are really funny, just naturally funny? They're showing God's humorous side of his character. You know people that are very, very compassionate. They're the people that listen to your stories and go, I am so sorry. Oh, that must have been awful. Oh, tell me about it. How much did that hurt? They're showing you a glimpse of God's compassionate character. The God that holds you through stuff. You see somebody who's really good with kids. They're showing you God's character and how he loves his little children. If you have a spouse, you have someone special in your life that you are imagining right now in your mind. Just imagine that. That is a manifestation of an aspect of God's character. You're seeing Jesus through that person. I saw Jesus holding me tight, holding me close, holding me fast through my wife and my kids this past 3 years. Look for those people in your life. Tell them how much they mean to you. Let them hear on this earth before their funeral how special they are. Don't wait. Take the time now to give them the flowers while they're still alive. That's what I always say. God has held our family close. He's held us tight. He's held us fast. This song is a song that I sang in camp meeting with a friend because it is one of our anthems right now as a family. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast.
When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, oh, he will hold me fast. I can never keep my hope through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. Oh, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. Those he saves are his delight. Christ will hold me fast. For precious in his holy sight, he will hold me fast. He'll not let my soul be lost. His promises shall last. But by him at such a cost, he will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. He will hold me fast. For my Savior loves me so.
Works to get better. I wanted to get better for the sake of my precious wife. I wanted to get better for the sake of my kids, who for almost 3 years didn't have daddy chasing them around the house. I wanted to run. I wanted to jump on the trampoline. I wanted to be the man of my house and take care of my business. And so God said, you're going to do it, but you're going to work for it. And I had an amazing team of PTs across 4 different physical therapy rehabilitation organizations who did what they do best. Those of you who are PTs, OTs, you guys are absolutely angels on earth. Absolutely. I'm in touch with all these people. We have a Facebook message group going on, and they message me all the time. In fact, one of my OTs just messaged me the other day. She said, I just want you to know that I still think about you. And she says, God used you to make a profound impression on me. She says, we used to talk about you in staff meetings at the Acute Rehabilitation Center. And she says, we would fight over who got to work with you that day. That is not because of me. Ask my wife. I can have really bad days. It's because God somehow said, I'm going to use you, imperfect guy, to just shine a little love into this rehabilitation. And he did. And I'm getting better little by little. I'm learning to stand again, learning to get my brain to tell my legs what to do again. After almost 4 months wailing around, I'm getting to the point where I can not just stand, but I can start to walk with a walker. I'm getting to the point where I can walk with a cane. Those are great progressions. Those were amazing progressions. Got to the point where I could start running again. That's what I do now. I'm running. Just ran in the treadmill the other day, trying to get back into it. Because God is good. He is so good. I know you're watching this with very vested interest, by the way. God has you in a very, very special way. God is good. He's good. He's good because I'm standing before you made well. You know, you read about these in stories and magazines. You see it maybe on TV, but I am a real-life example of someone who very nearly had a left leg amputated, who was told that you're going to have a funky limp the rest of your life. Just embrace it. Who was told there is no way that you should ever consider running ever again. That is not on your bingo card for your life. I'm standing before you here whole because God is good. All through my recovery process, I had a really good friend, Rob, at church. It was kind of cool because for 3 years, one of the blessings about this is for 3 years, I got to attend church like a normal person. That's kind of nice. We went to the Stevensville Church down there in Southwest Michigan. I remember wheeling into that church my first Sabbath, and Rob was like, "Hey, how's it going, Scott? It's good to see you. You look good." I'm in like a suit jacket up top, and I'm wearing scrubs down below because my bandages are so big. I look like I was going to a zoo. So Rob is encouraging me. You know, Rob and I have been friends for many years. We were on the same soccer team at Andrews University, played 4 years. I was a midfielder. He was a striker, so I'm the guy that would pass the ball to him so he could make a goal. He's a Spaniard. He's so good. He's probably the best player on our team. Had the best attitude. I mean, look at that guy, right? I mean, there is, who could not love that guy with that smile? And Rob was cheerleading me through the whole process. He was. He'd see me wheel in. He's like, "You look good." I didn't feel like I looked good. I looked like I was a dumpster fire, like a hot mess. Rob is cheering me on. And then I'd come in, and I'm like coming in with my walker, and he's like, "Man, look at you. You're upright." Fist bumping, high five, giving me the Rob smile. Makes you feel like $1 million. A few months later, I'm in there coming in with my cane. Something I wanted to ditch the cane so fast. Let's just be honest. People look at you differently when you're 40 and you have a cane. And Rob just said, "Dude, you should keep the cane even when you're better. It just looks so good. You just look great, man. Just keep the cane." Rob was there every step of the way encouraging me. God knew I needed Rob in my life because God is good. But what about Rob? What about Rob? Where's the God is good with Rob? You know, just a couple years before my accident, Rob was in the same vehicle, a Toyota Sienna minivan. He was rear-ended by a Class 8 semi-truck wrecker. And over the course of the past 3 years, Rob has been in my corner cheerleading me like you wouldn't believe, even though he will never walk again on this earth. So, yeah, we look at Scott and say, "Wow, God is good. Look at you." But what about Rob? Where is the goodness of God when it comes to Rob Fustain? I talked to Rob a couple weeks ago on the phone. We talked about this whole concert format. I wanted his permission to talk about him. And he said, "You should." He will tell you that God is good. See, here's the thing about the Christian experience. There are some circles of Christianity that will try to tell you that God's goodness is displayed only in his blessings. So when you park at Costco and you get that first spot, God is definitely shining down on me. When you get the raise at work that was completely unexpected, God is good. When you find out that what you thought was a cancer diagnosis was a mistake and you are not diseased, God is good. When you get into a catastrophic car accident and you're able to walk and run and frolic again, God is good. This is all that's preached, is God's blessings are the revelation of his goodness. And they are. But that's not the only place that God's goodness shows up. God's goodness shows up when things are awful. God is still good. Full stop. God is good. When you are struggling with a cancer diagnosis, like my mom did, God is good. when you're watching someone you love die, he is still good. You are paralyzed from an awful accident that wasn't your fault. God is good. There is no asterisk that says, hey, God is good, but read the fine print. There's no addendum, there's no footnote that says, well, there are some exceptions to that rule. If you've had a rough go lately, you could probably not go with the whole God is good thing right now. It's just not how it works. He's good no matter what, even unto death. We have biblical examples of this, okay? Read Acts 12. Spend some time in Acts 12. In the same chapter, we have two completely diametrically, what appear to be diametrically opposed concepts in Acts chapter 12. It opens up with Herod was violently persecuting the Christians. James is executed. A few verses later, good old Peter is sitting there in jail. Angel lets him out. God was good to James, and God was good to Peter. Two men serving the same God, doing the same work, two different outcomes. God said, James, you've done the work. Rest. I got you. Peter, you're not done yet. I got you too. God said to Elijah, you have served me well. You are going to come to heaven in a chariot of fire. It's going to be glorious. Elisha, who witnesses this event, Elisha, who gets a double portion of Elijah's spirit, which was God's spirit, he's probably coming to the end of his life going, I wonder what my chariot's going to look like. But no. Elisha's fate is to get sick and slowly die from it. Same God, two men, same work, two different outcomes, and God is good in both of them. So I want to tell you, saints, when my daughter climbed into my lap several months after my accident, I was in my wheelchair and she's sitting there and she's snuggling me, and all of a sudden she said, Daddy, did you pray for protection that morning? And I said, yeah, I did, baby. Absolutely. Always do. I remember doing it. We were sitting in the garage and just having a prayer before I left. And she looked up at me and she said, Daddy, why didn't Jesus protect? There's a silence that followed that question. Because I had to make sure that as my child's faith was being challenged at that moment, that my answer would strengthen it. This is what I said to her. I said, honey, when Daddy prays for protection, I am not just praying that God would keep me safe. I am praying that. I do. I want to be safe when I come and visit your church and see you. I want to get home to my family. And so God is also asking, Daddy is also asking God to keep him safe. Because if for some reason I'm not kept safe, really all I care about is that I'm kept safe. If Daddy had not made it through that moment, you would have seen Daddy again. Daddy and God had a 10-minute chat in the car before state troopers showed up. It was a beautiful 10-minute chat. It was a chat about my family. It was a chat about my kids and my wife and the future. It was a chat about my rest. As I was pulled from that car, I remember even telling the state trooper, I don't know if you believe in God, but I do, and I'm good. If something happens to me, it's okay. Because I'm safe, even if I'm not safe. My girls are going to come up here, and they're going to help us close this morning with a song you all know. And I encourage you to sing it. Because it's a reminder that God is good. Full stop.
And this week, I hope it's stuck in your head. I hope you're humming it as you walk around the house. I hope at work you are sharing it with someone. Because as simple as it sounds, the song is a reminder that God is so good.
Thank you, Scott and Heather, for coming and sharing your testimony. It wasn't easy, but God helped you through it. He's so good. He's so good. Thank you, Heather, for your testimony, and little ones, for your testimony, for being there for Daddy when he needed you. What a blessing you'll always be for him. He'll always cherish that. And we had a little trial. I don't want to take any of your story, but my daughter had a episode a couple months ago, and she had knee surgery just last Friday, and I had to go down and be her glue while she had surgery, and got to bring her home Tuesday. And so we're all home this week, and she'll be home next week getting physical therapy after her ACL repair. So God is good. God is good. She's all in one piece. And we're all helping her through her process as well, getting her showered and food and all that stuff. So we know just a little bit of what you guys went through, but nowhere near what you have. So praise God. He is good. Because he was down for so long, they have, Scott and Heather have changed their process of, they used to sell CDs, they used to go to a bunch of places, and because they're not doing that anymore, they're asking for an honorarium, which was provided, but they're also collecting a love fund, a love offering. And so if you feel blessed by the message today, if you know how to use your phone, you can point your camera at that QR code, and you can donate, give a love offering online. And so you can do that at this time. If you've been blessed, if you want to support their ministry, that would be wonderful. And again, thank you, Scott and Heather, for sharing your testimony, sharing your life, sharing this time with us, and showing how God is so good. He's so good. Never forget it. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you've been through, you could probably attest to the same, that God is so good. So I want to close this with prayer, and we'll have a blessing. There's a meal following the service. If you'd like to stay, please join us for a fellowship meal. And let's pray. Father in heaven, God, you are so good. Thank you for your love, your compassion, your tenderness, and the strength you provide to help us to get through these trials. Thank you for helping Scott, for protecting and preserving his life so that he could be a witness and a testimony of your care and your healing, so that he can go and share of your love and goodness everywhere he goes. Thank you for giving Heather just what she needed, when she needed it, to be the glue to hold the family together, to provide for Scott's care, to provide for the children, to carry on the work in the home, to still be a mother and a wife. Thank you for giving that to her when she needed it most. And thank you for the children, for them being little hands and feet for Jesus, helping mommy and daddy through this ordeal. And thank you for all the support from the people from Pennsylvania, from the close friend who came to help as well, and for everyone else in between that weren't mentioned. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Continue to bless the Bennetts as they continue to minister. They'll leave us today after lunch and go and share their testimony in Midland, and then on to other places throughout Michigan, and I'm sure through all the world, of your love and your goodness. Thank you, Father. Bless the food, bless our fellowship. Help it to give us strength and to carry forth your message of love and grace to this world. Lord, even through the turmoil that's going on in this world, we know that you are still good and that Jesus is coming soon. Help us to be ready. Help us to be lights for you everywhere we go. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you, Scott and Heather. God bless you. You're all dismissed. Again, fellowship meal. You're all welcome to stay. Food's already blessed, so if you guys want to start through line, go ahead.